Can I wear a backwards hat? Is that appropriate?
Are you trying to look great, cool?
Alex, as always.
You look like you had too many M's, a little bit of golf course.
Looks better than your normal haircut.
You look like the cart girl has to cut you off.
Previously on Dakota Town Hall.
I would say the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party, I don't know that we need to have a lot of nuance on how we view this.
Agreed.
I mean, this is, you know, just take Xi Jinping's word for it. I mean, his public statements are chilling as to how they view American leadership and the rules-based international order. I just, I wouldn't want us to fall into a false equivalency here.
Welcome to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly political podcast.
And welcome back to South Dakota's most listened to political podcast. With Jake in the East, I am Murdoch in the West, and you are listening to Dakota Town Hall. Jake, all the candidates have been listed. We've got races we're going to focus on for the next few weeks.
And it's Matchers Week, most importantly.
Oh, that's so right. My dad even reminded me, it's like, hey, it's the Masters. You can talk about golf, you'll sound normal.
Yeah, I'm reading my Masters pool. I'm feeling really good about it.
I'm gonna be in Vegas. You want me to place anything? I just put 20 on Black 28, but you know.
Yeah, put 100 on Shoffley. That seems like
on Shoffley. I'm gonna sound like those people who pick the March Madness on colors if I go pronounce the name wrong. All right. Well, let's get right into it, man. We've got a lot of guests to get to today.
Yeah, we're going to start kind of a new thing this episode with our candidate spotlight. We're bringing in one candidate, and we're going to try to do multiple different races. We're bringing in a candidate and talk about their race a little bit. This week we have from District 30, Amber Hulse. She's running for the Senate in District 30 and also running for the RNC committee woman. Amber, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for joining us. And also later in the show, but he's on with us right now, we have outgoing city councilman and pre-workout salesman, Alex Jensen.
Also, you owe us a taxidermied animal.
You do.
I think we probably should just start, sponsoring this podcast and call it the Max Muscle Podcast.
We can discuss that for the right amount of money.
Yeah.
Does your campaign need Max Muscle?
We might need more of like a post hangover blend.
There you go. Did you lose your race by 80 votes? Alex Jensen has a concoction that will let you sleep at night.
We'll get to Alex later. He's going to talk about the city races we just had here in Sioux Falls, both school board and city council. But first, start with Amber. Amber, you're running in we're spotlighting your race because it's one of the hottest races in South Dakota against Julie Fry Mueller.
Yeah, no, it's a fun time down in the southern western corner of South Dakota for sure. It gets pretty interesting in these parts.
The wild west of South Dakota.
For our listeners, can you describe what that area is, like what area that represents, the counties, kind of give us a little rundown on the district.
Yeah, so District 30 is all of Fall River County, all of Custer County, and then the southern parts of Pennington County. So we got Custer, Mount Rushmore, Keystone, Hill City, Hot Springs, Edgemont. It's a pretty big area, but sparsely populated, lots of ranchers, agriculture. My parents run a hunting ranch down there. So, yeah.
Talking about hot springs and golf, that's one of my favorite courses in the state. That is a fantastic golf course.
Could you at least fake like you're a Republican, a West River Republican for a second?
Hole number 11 at Hot Springs is the best hole in the state.
It's where they hold the state golf tournament.
Is it really? I don't mean, all right, I'm taking it all back. Hot Springs, my bad.
Beautiful, beautiful golf course.
I ain't running for District 30. I can say whatever I want. the question candidate gets asked all the time and sometimes has an answer to, sometimes doesn't. Why are you running?
Yeah, my dad is a disabled Vietnam veteran, and my mom worked at the VA hospital down in Hot Springs for a while, which is another, really important
story
part of the district.
In and of itself, yeah.
And when I was in middle school, actually, the federal government, the Obama administration, wanted to close the VA hospital at a time when the headlines weren't about the border or the economy. It was about veterans dying, seeking care. And so it was really frustrating to me that the government, flick of a pen in D.C., was going to change my entire life as I knew it. And I didn't want my area to be voiceless anymore. And so in eighth grade, ninth grade, I decided I was going to pursue a career in public service. And here we are 10 years later. I'm coming home and living up to what I always promised myself I would do, especially during a time when the rhetoric right now in this district is that we don't have a voice. And so it felt very much like such a time as this, that I was coming home right when my area needed me most.
No, your path there was not just, you know, from college to running or something like that. You've had quite a path to get back home. What's your experience prior to you know, coming home to District 30?
Yeah, so I, you know, started young. So I was a page for 2 years in the Capitol my junior and senior year. And then I worked in the Secretary of State's office under Chantel Krebs as an intern during the legislative session as a freshman in college. Interned for Senator Thune. Spent some time in Virginia working for a state legislator out there who then eventually became the Attorney General. And then most pivotally in my life, I was selected to be a White House intern in the Trump administration. So moved out to D.C., worked in the White House, worked in the U.S. Senate as a law clerk for Senator Josh Hawley while I was in law school at Georgetown Law, and then worked for the Virginia Attorney General for a little while and an election law firm. So this is my world. I'm kind of a political nerd, I guess you could say, but I wanted to get as much experience as possible playing in those big leagues so that I could come home and, you know, be a 25-year-old with a wealth of knowledge and experience to take on a position like this.
Do you find in a district in a you know, drain the swamps a line in District 30 that works pretty well? Do you find that experience plays in Hot Springs?
It depends on who you're talking to, obviously.
Sure.
You know, when you say that I've learned some lessons in Washington, D.C., people sometimes are taken aback by that. But I think it's just as important to know what you don't want to happen to your area as it is to know what you do want to do. And knowing what's coming and knowing what to protect our, you know, state from is just as important. So I think, you know, people that in this area, there's a lot of newcomers that have moved to the Black Hills since 2020, and those people respond to it very well. There's obviously some people that will give me a little crap for going to a liberal law school, but it's good to know thy enemy, right? And to know those arguments better than your own so that you can argue back just as well.
Hey, I went to the University of Minnesota, so I know exactly what you're saying there. I can tell you all about going to
a
liberal school.
Yeah, but you're a rhino. No one's questioning
that. Well, no one's questioning that. You know, I have to imagine, Amber, too, you being a Trump intern, that kind of has to play well in your district. People have to like that.
District. Yeah, I know. The district is very, very obviously Trump-heavy, very supportive. Mm-hmm. And I just actually am a part of an organization called Run Gen Z, which supports candidates under the age of 30 running for office all over the country. And so I got to see President Trump again and talk with him a little while back at the Iowa caucus. And, you know, just even that experience was great to have his support. And then I'm about to graduate from law school in May. And so I'm actually working for the woman who represented Trump in the Supreme Court case that got the 9-0 decision recently. And so between the two of them, you know, I definitely have the nod from the Trump campaign. So it's great to have that in my corner as I battle explaining to people that I'm not a rhino, despite my time spent in the swamp.
So you mentioned your age. I said ridiculous things when I was 25.
You still do. I don't know how that.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the question.
Let me try it this way. There's a certain type of voter that's just going to, and I don't think this is fair, by the way. I'm just saying. There's a certain type of voter that's going to see 25. Not yet. What do you say to that voter?
Yeah, well, look at who you have as a representative presently. And that's about all I have to say.
All right, shots fired, Jake. We're shots fired.
Hey, I mean, I was 26 when I ran. I don't think people look at it that way. I really don't think they do. They look at how you talk and what you're saying.
I don't mean this in any disrespect. I kind of do. When I was a young Democrat, I called George W. Bush a war criminal. And now I give my left pinky finger if he was in the administration. So, like, in the sense of, you know.
The nice thing is people in this district, there are a lot of retirees that are 65 and up that once they hear me talk and realize that I'm not just a ditzy blonde pageant girl, they actually see me as hope for the future. And they're excited that young people are getting involved because it gives them like faith in humanity.
I agree that the youth are undefeated. So you can't. I'm on the side of it. It's not like I guess I sound like the get off my lawn kind of deal. I just can't get over the dumb things I said when I was 25 politically. Not that
you
were saying dumb things, but.
Amber mentions that a lot of 65-year-old retirees, a lot of them see like people, Amber's in my age, and think, well, that's kind of like my kid's age.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of see it almost like a kinder thing, like, oh, like that, you know, that kid's a grown up. They do adult things. And so they don't really see it as something that's like a negative, in my opinion.
No, but they're really excited about it. Like once people realize that I'm not saying crazy things, hopefully, they're excited because they want, you know, their grandkids and their kids to have just a positive future and to be able to grow up in the way that they grew up.
So you meant you have a candidate that gets headlines.
Mm-hmm. Does she?
For better or for worse.
Exactly. How do you, or maybe you don't care, how do you, you mentioned in the beginning of this where keep the rhetoric, you know, not positive, but helpful. In a race that seems like it will be a little vitriolic, how do you try to stay above it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that ad hominem attacks are obviously not good. And I think that, you know, if we're talking about effectiveness and policy and what someone can do for the district, what they're wanting to get done, that keeps it above the water. And I, you know, have said, and I'm going to say it again, that I will not be throwing the first punch. I will not be sending the nasty mailer. And so we'll wait and see exactly what goes down. But I, you know,
maybe
the only thing I've attacked
friendliest,
over...
Maybe it'll be the friendliest race in the state.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody gets long, smiles, drinks tea.
Knock on
wood. High fives.
So, Amber, with your opponent, how would you say you are substantially different from your opponent in her views? Or, and, like, how are you different from Julie Fremuller outside of the controversy?
Because you both will... platform take profiles out of it, you probably mm-hmm. align on a lot of things.
Yeah, no, we do. And I think that's something that there's a huge discrepancy as to how I'm kind of being represented by, you know, that camp of people and my opponent, is that I think on policy issues we stand similarly, but I don't understand in South Dakota why we have such a us versus them mentality. We make jokes about, you know, calling people rhinos, but really South Dakota is the shining city on the hill, or the shining state on the hill. We should be glad that we have so many Republicans here and stop infighting so much. And so I hope to be somebody who can work, I don't want to say across the aisle, but between these two different kind of sects of people.
There's a couple of aisles right now, right?
Yeah. And so to me, you know, diplomacy and decorum is on the ballot in June in District 30. And that's what makes me different, is I feel like I can be someone who, you know, is going to go to caucus and participate in discussions and be respected and not be, you know, somebody who can't pass a bill.
You better not tell them you went on this show. They'll think we gave you the little red book.
So I'm curious, too, with that group, Citizens for Liberty is obviously a big group out in the Rapid and West River area. Mm-hmm. And isn't Julie's husband the person that runs it?
He used to be. He's actually been ousted as the president. So I
oh, really?
Drama.
Yes. Wow.
Palace intrigue, Jake. Is that, new?
I don't think it's that new. I've known about that for quite a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not following it.
Murdoch, he's your buddy. You and him are really close.
We had a nice time at the Capitol Day. We had a nice time. I learned all kinds of stuff about the Capitol building. It was great.
So how has it been working with that group, or not necessarily working with that group, but how has it been with that group? They're obviously kind of the further right group that has been no problem being splashy when it comes to how they go after people.
Yeah, it's been fairly quiet for me right now. I think the big thing that's coming up is on April 27th, in coordination with the Pennington County GOP, Citizens for Liberty and PENCO are hosting a candidate forum. And so that will be very interesting to see how the partnership with that organization plays out on a candidate forum that should be not partisan to any certain candidates, since it's being put on by a county GOP, but obviously is potentially partisan given that group's nature of supporting certain candidates. So what they're saying is that they would like it to be like
the
debate.
You're a good tiptoer, man. Yeah. You're a good tiptoer. I'll give you that. That is some good ass tiptoeing.
But I got to imagine it's not just the Senate race. It's going to be hot and going on that candidate forum. You got a whole lot going on the House side. So
yeah, well, it's not just for our district either. They're inviting candidates from all districts that touch Pennington County. So it'll not just be myself and Julie. It will be all of the candidates that are running in anything that touches Pennington County. So I think four or five districts are invited, but. Yeah, it's very, very interesting to see even just some of the GOPs in my district and how it's playing out of who they're supporting and who they're not.
Has Lance Russell weighed in on any support yet, one way or the other?
It's pretty obvious who he's supporting. Yeah,
I don't mean to. Is that true?
Yeah, I would say that the Fall River GOP is definitely skewed in a certain way. And
I don't mean to play dummy. I'm just literally trying to get is that for you or against you?
I would say it's more against me. And that's one thing that we're looking into right now. Fall River County's county commissioners just voted to hand count the entire election in Fall River County. And Lance Russell is the state's attorney. So any challenges to anything going on with the election would have to go through a state's attorney who is involved in the county GOP. And so if I was a Democrat running in that area, which I'm not, but if I was, I would be a little concerned.
This is like the scene in the horror movie where it's like the call is coming from inside the house.
Oh, I wish Lance Russell was not making that call.
You know, the trick in your race is to let the House throw the grenades and let you guys keep your heads down, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just let France sit in the trench. That's the trick for the Senate.
There's a lot of people running. But, you know, it's been really interesting. Even in my race, there's a Democrat challenger in the general. And I can tell you that the Democrats are definitely supporting Julie in the primary because they want to be up against her for the general and not me. And that's what I keep telling people is that think about this for the general election. Because June is not when it's over with. It's not over until November. So think about who you want to put up against a pretty strong Democratic challenger in November.
And not to mention, I mean, we have a very unique November coming versus other years where we have the Roe ballot measure on the vote. So that's going to turn out way more Democrats than normal, or at least people that might be voting Democrat in November when they hadn't in prior years.
Yeah.
So that's a very good argument.
Website, social media plugs. Where should people find you at?
Super active on Facebook. It's Amber for District 30 State Senate. And then my website is www.amberforsouthdakota, all spelt out.
She's District 30 Senate candidate Amber Hulse. Thank you for coming on Dakota Town Hall.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dakota Town Hall will be right back after a quick word from our partners. And now back to Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's premier political podcast.
Welcome back to Dakota Town Hall. That was fantastic with Amber. I'm glad she had time to join us on the show.
That race is the Thunderdome, baby.
It is. I mean,
live from the Thunderdome.
And like both sides, like the House and the Senate are just bangers of a race.
I don't know if I believe I ain't going to throw the first punch. Everyone says that in April.
But they got them cooked and ready to go. Those punches are they're holding them back. Like, if they ain't written up, they should be.
It'd be a hard district to keep the powder dry in. Hey, speaking of keeping your powder dry and letting loose some bullets, Jake won't plug his own fundraiser, and so I'm going to plug his fundraiser for him because he's a candidate who should win, and he's an obvious choice. And, you know, we could say whatever we want on our own show. On Tuesday, April 23rd, you should go to Willow Run from 4:30 to 6:30 and bring $500 and support Jake Schoenbeck for District 2.
I think that's the first time it's been announced, too. I don't think I've yet got that out. So,
We're breaking new candidate right now. We're doing it all early, right on.
I appreciate that. It should be a great event. We have some great hosts.
Got this tiny hand Republican out of District 2.
Oh, jeez. No one knows that joke outside of like our group text.
That's what makes it even better.
All right, let's get to another incredible person. Runner-up for Miss South Dakota, actually. Alex Jensen joining us on the show, current city councilman, outgoing,
and owner of Mr. Congeniality. Muscle.
Alex, we had some city races here in Sioux Falls where turnout was 7%.
Right. You know, thanks for having me on the show, guys. I'm so thankful to be on here and talk about this because I think it's actually going to leak over into our primary focus, too, right? Jake, of which you and Amber all need to kind of get your game plan ready because voter turnout is going to be significantly low for this. We had 7.7% of the people that are allowed to vote to come in and vote. 7.7. It's insane. And so anyway, you know, if you
kind of I'm sorry to interrupt. That sounds lower than. Like I guess become to learn to accept the 9 to 12% numbers, but that's low even for low.
It's low, and that's just what we were kind of thinking through over here the last couple of days. You know, how do you get more people to show up?
What is the cause of such a low turnout, in your opinion? I mean, it's not one thing.
It's a good question to think about, and that's kind of, you know, what we're A, starting to think about, and B, trying to solve for from a campaign perspective for Richard. You know, of course, that's the team I'm on, Richard Tomlinson in Sioux Falls. But you look at that, you look at the turnout for this, you had a really big school board election. You had some really heavy hitters in there from a school board election. You had Mark Murren, who currently sits on the school board. You had Pat Starr, an outgoing city councilor. You had Bobby Tibbetts, who would have been one of the most tremendous, school board members we've ever had. And then you had Gail Swenson that, you know, kind of came out and she ran a, you know, pretty good race. And I wish her and Mark the best as they embark on Mark's second term and her first term. But you look at that, they really got their people out to vote. Those two were endorsed by the teachers union, which I think gets out to vote. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you fast forward or you look at Richard Tomlinson's race. He got 44% of the vote. Okay. Like in a legislative race, if you get 44% of the vote, you win.
You're home cooking.
Yeah.
But the city has decided that you need to get 50% plus one. That's the deal. So now this thing goes to a runoff because, you know, Richard got 44%. He won an absentee ballot. So his ground game is good. Election day, he won by, you know, just under 1,000. So he's just over his opponent by 1,000 votes, which is interesting. I only won by 97. Richard did a great job campaigning. Don't need to change anything about Richard. He's going to be a fantastic individual that is going to come through and make this happen. But if you look at it, the results, you'll see that the people that came out to vote for the school board, also, that's about, you know, I would say that's a majority of the people that came out in this election. 5% did not even vote in the city council race.
Really?
Wow. 5%. Really? So now you take, that seems so like now a take, lot.
So now take those underscores out, right? And what you get is you get Richard closer to 48-49%, okay? So I know I'm getting a little nerdy, and I'm sorry for that. That's kind of how I geek out on this stuff. But ultimately, we're right there. Well, you know, it's incredible to see the amount of people that have kind of woken up after this election and said, huh, maybe we should actually publicize this thing and get people out to vote.
So when is this, he's got to run against that Jordan Devenbaugh kid.
Yep. And yep. So Richard's race, the next election will be on April 30th. So Richard Tomlinson, you know, he's got to go through this runoff now. He's the only Republican in the race, right? Just a fact of the matter. Jordan is not specifically, but
Jordan's,
you know,
not a Republican. Sorry.
Couldn't tell that at all.
Yeah, but long story short, you know, Richard's 1,000 votes ahead, and it's exciting to see the people that have kind of stepped up in this last, you know, 2 days to kind of come together and coalesce around Richard and say, whew, you know, this guy. So just for an example, and we can talk about it more if you want to in a different way, but Richard, while he served in the legislature, had 100% rating from the Sioux Falls Chamber of Commerce. He was like number one on their scorecard. Number one. This guy is a Chamber of Commerce Republican. He also has people like Christine Erickson supporting him. He has people like Arch Beal supporting him, Alex Jensen, which are uniquely different from a party perspective. We're all Republicans, but we're all coalescing around Richard and trying to move that forward. So I'm really excited to see all this energy now. I wish it would have been a little bit more last time, but I think that's going to be the really big thing when you come into not only this April 30 election, Murdoch and Jake, but it's like when we go into Jake's election, it's how do we get out the vote? How do we get people to go vote? Because I think a majority of the Republicans are on, you know, people like Jake's side. They're on people like your side, Murdoch, you know. We're all business entrepreneurs trying to make stuff happen. And that's, you know, that's what we're trying to incite out of this deal.
I'm curious. So I think if you look at the vote totals, there's one point of concern I'd have for Richard right now. And that's Alison Renville, right? She got 14.7% of the share of votes, right? I know Alison's politics. At least I've heard of them. And I would not call them very Republican, right? And I imagine that the conservative vote's not going to go her. I mean, those aren't people that are conservatives voting for her that much. So is that concerning for Richard with the, you know, 35.8% plus 14.7%, that's over 50% if the same people come out to vote?
Yep. It's a good question and something that we are thinking about. If you look at the school board election, I think that is kind of the reason for her success. And you look at how well Gail Swenson did and how the teacher union really came out for Gail and Mark. I think it changes. I think you get a little more absenteeism out of that group of people, especially Gail, because of 5% of the underscores that came through, Jake, is 5% of the people didn't even vote in the city election. They just voted in the school board election.
So I'm not in this. I'm in the Brandon Valley School District. But so is Gail a little more liberal leaning? Is that kind of what the theory is there, that they got more votes?
I would say of the people that she brought to the polls, you know, 7 to 9 out of 10 people, okay. 7 of those people to 9 vote out of 10 voted for either Jordan or for Allison.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Yes. Just to give you a little of kind of my takeaway of it.
April 30th, it gets. So what do you do? What do you do in this? You know, it's been a while since I've been to a special election. You just re-knock on everybody's doors, send out one more mailer.
Hey, yeah, don't forget, you do. We're still doing this. Sun. So the interesting thing is now you have, you know, go to District 13. Go to District 2. You probably see Jake's signs going up everywhere. But go to District 13. You see Brad Jankard and Tony Van Huysen signs going out everywhere. So it's like, okay, let's go hit all those doors. Because all of those people are Republican.
Those are green flags,
All of those people are going to want a Richard Tomlinson rather than someone that doesn't share their beliefs in kind of how the world should work, right?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. You knock those doors, those are the ones you hit. And you got, what is it? You got 19 days. I'm curious too. And did you help in this campaign? Do you know if, like, Richard, or if you're in this position, do you plan for a runoff when it's a three-way race? Like, do you have like some money in the bank for this? I'm always curious how that works.
No, and I don't think you leave any money in the bank at any time. I think you try, if you're in the race of, you know, that close and that low of turnout, you spend every single dollar, and I think you'll probably see that come through. And then you just have to have the organization to pick you up and coalesce around you. It's really unique to see the people that are coming around Richard and saying, okay, probably should have been more involved. You still won by 1,000 votes. Remember, I only won by 97. Mm-hmm. Richard has won by 1,000. He has signs all over Sioux Falls. He has billboards all over Sioux Falls. He has everyone that supported me behind me. He has people that didn't support me behind him. I mean, he's really running really hard. He's, you know, got a lot of energy coming out of this thing, and I'm kind of excited to see what happens.
It is pretty interesting. You know, it's good political theater, which is probably not what Richard wants to hear.
Not all what Richard wants. I mean,
you know what I mean?
Unfortunately, Richard, he's been in part of political theater for a while. The last race he was in was with Tony and Sue Pearson.
Can't catch a break, also, man.
That's tough theater to be in, and you don't always want to be in the theater. But, well, you know, it's going to be a tough road ahead for him, but I agree. I think he's got the right path to get there. So,
can I change the subject?
Yeah.
I think everybody should read that Searchlight article, if you have not, about Mr. Lee Schoenbeck, because it's awesome and he's a badass.
I'm a little partial to this one, I gotta be honest.
It is. I thought Josh did a real wonderful article.
It wasn't Goss. It was Josh.
Josh Hare. I guess if I said Goss, I meant Josh. Josh Hares. That's how you say that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's real great. I thought it was, you know, a nice one of many that I'm sure is coming on Mr. Schoenbeck's political career here in South Dakota. We are teetering around a couple of episodes ourselves. So if you have, like, we should give the plug out. If you've got any good Lee Schoenbeck dirt, now's the time to get a hold of this show, because we're gonna do a couple of episodes this summer.
It was fun. I got to help Josh with some of his sourcing for that article, and gave him some leads to who to talk to and stuff like that. It was pretty fun. He's not the first person either to ask me for leads on a Lee Schoenbeck article.
So we're collecting them. Harry Christensen, yeah, well, we're looking at you.
Well, there was also the article from Lee Strubinger, did one too as well, on my father. That was also a great read for SDPB.
I had coffee with Lee last week. Lee and I are
going, oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're going to be friends. I'm so jealous we didn't think of that podcast. That show,
oh, I know.
Podcast.
That's
oh, my goodness.
We got 9 episodes out of that. But the reality is, we could not have done the job he did.
I know.
We could not have pulled that off as well as he pulled off A Short Walk.
It's just easier to be jealous, Jake.
It is easier to be jealous. And he's got a great band name, too.
That's true. Oh, yes. You know what else we got to talk about, guys?
Yes.
Freedom Works 3. Live free Freedom or die 3. Hard or work here, or whatever we're going to call it. We get all
$2.5 million to get people to work here.
You could do the Godfather route. Freedom Works Part 3. Just Ooh. When you thought you weren't free, they free you back in.
Didn't that one, like, okay, I've only seen 1 and 2 of Godfather.
You
didn't
can
take
the time
third. To watch
it's
3.
Not that good. Nah.
That's exactly. That's you what I'm saying. I'm like, why did you do number 3?
We could also do the you know, like Batman, the Freedom Night Rises.
I'm just saying, I think we get the bit now. Like, I think the bit's been played out. The
what
whole,
are we
like,
going to do when they do Freedom Works 4, though, Jake?
We were proponents of this ad campaign. We complimented it. We liked it.
Still
I'm just saying.
I can't. That doesn't mean I don't get to make the jokes.
I know. No. What I'm saying is, I think they should have cut it at 2. Let's stop there. We got enough of those. We got the idea. We got enough ads to run on TV networks.
Listen to what's about to happen, everybody. Because, you know, we get a lot of crap for being hard on Governor Noem a little bit, which, you know, fair.
Ooh-y.
But, you know, we're not the ones getting the teeth. But anyway, we're fans of this. I think this is smart. I'm in advertising, right? So I'm probably going to lean partially to an advertising plan, but it's not, you know what I mean? Like, she's the most popular governor we've had since Janklow. Every time she goes off Fox News, shoots her guns off in the air, people move here. We need employees. You know what I mean?
But do we need to keep cutting ads for this? I think we have like 5. Like, aren't those ones pretty
good?
You
know, we're going to make 2. Why not make 4? You don't want the ad to burn, Jake.
I don't know. I mean, I don't work in ad space. I let you handle that piece. So
also, here's why I wanted to bring it up, I guess, because, you know, we can be hard on Governor Noem. We can think is good, regardless if you're doing more ads or not. The haters that are like, this is a waste of money. It's a long conversion. You don't just see an ad on TV and you're like, well, Martha, sell the house. You know what I mean? You got to find the new house. You got to find the job. You got to make sure the school doesn't suck. That's an 11-month conversion. These things are going to get people to move here to South Dakota and work here for 5 more years. So,
listen, I think $2.5 million is a bit much. I think spending $1 million more on it maybe is reasonable.
I think they should spend 10.
I just think we're dumping a little too much money into it. I like the idea of it. I like the first few rounds of it.
Who wants to take a job in Kansas? You know, sometimes you got to put a little zhuzh on it, buddy. Will you just let me compliment Noem so I can look people who in the eye and say, Lord, it's not just compliments, it's not just critiques.
It is a good ad campaign. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, like, let's not do this forever. Like, the bit gets old after a while.
Notice cat got your tongue, Alex.
Well, I to be very frank with you, I really like the ad campaign, because if you look at it over if you look at it over a 10-year span or even a 2-year span, she's the most popular person in South Dakota right now. There's no one more popular than her,
of course,
bar none. And she's selling a message that people started to use my manufacturing firm in Woonsocket because they go, oh, you're in South Dakota. You're going to be open all the time. There's going to be no regulation that come into that into that state because of COVID or some, you know, wonky deal that we, you know, or woke deal that you have to shut down. See, that's the interesting thing. She's doing a great job of selling South Dakota. Now, are her ads, you know, what we want or not? Don't know the answer to that. But she's, I think, simply, it's a good ad campaign. I think, you know, do you stop at two? Do you stop at three? Don't know the answer to that. But they've got, you know, someone helping them to try and, you know, dial that in. So yeah,
company
I give
Ohio.
Her credit for it. you know,
it's called Go West.
Yeah. Sorry.
We all know about that.
I couldn't even get through one compliment without a critique.
You can't give us a T-ball, Alex.
You did set it up.
No,
like
but Alex
that.
Makes
what
a very good point.
He makes not a knock it down.
Point. She is selling the state very well. And he's a business owner. He knows if people are coming to the state to use his business and they like our state, she's the one selling the state to the national audience. It's really no one else besides her.
Hey, it's all upside. So.
It is. It is.
Almost all
a lot
upside.
Of money. It's a lot of money.
It's almost all upside. All upside.
Hey, that's a lot of money.
Let's just change the dynamic just a little bit more. I have two guys out of Omaha that have come to South Dakota to manufacture their workout supplements at my plant in Woonsocket. And they are really great people. But the main reason they came to us is because of our governor.
I'm telling you, it happens.
So now let's just dial that into what that means for Woonsocket, South Dakota. Sanborn County, it's the county seat of Sanborn County. We have 35 people that work for us there. We have 25 people in one of the corners that is another lease space. So that's about 60, 65 people that work in my building in Woonsocket. That's 10% of the population of the county seat. So if we're trying to expand business in small town South Dakota, this actually has proven to me that these ads and her popularity across the country has been a really good thing for South Dakota. And I get we can critique, you know, great leaders and, you know, ones that are really dialed into throttling down and making stuff happen. But you know what? Personally, I'm appreciative because now I have a new client. And I have another client potentially that's on the way, and it's like, let's go. You know, we're open to work.
I hear you, Alex. The Woonsocket, and Sanborn County GOP, are they into the game of endorsing candidates in a primary or no?
I don't know the answer to that. But
and here comes primary roundup.
I think we should loosen up the tie.
Oh, I think so.
There's a lot.
So. We've had a lot of fun with our county GOPs, haven't we? It seems like the rules are out the door these days when it comes to who you're endorsing and what you're doing.
Well,
in fact, if you want to endorse an independent candidate for the U.S. Congress, go for it.
Okay, there's a lot of things happening. Not every county GOP is there.
True.
But true. A handful of these county GOPs are getting a little scorecard happy. You know, they want some things to do. And, you know, the candidates that they are putting up are, as Jake says, in some cases, not even a Republican. And in some other cases, they're a little bit more what do you want to call them? Passionate? What do you want to call them?
Well, you know, hey, I'm so thankful that you had me on to talk about the Sioux Falls city election. Let's just talk about how the Minnehaha GOP did in Sioux Falls, South Dakota over this last election. Okay. Stuart Willett, he got less than 10% of the vote. Did they do anything to, you know, bring him forward? You know, look at Bobby Tibbetts. Bobby Tibbetts is a great Republican that would be fantastic to move the Republican agenda forward that actually cares about, you know, making great investments. Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found, Minnehaha, you know, GOP. So they're letting the GOP down. Now let's just take it to the city election. I don't want to talk about that too long, but Minnehaha County, we have two count them, two Democrats versus a Republican that served in the legislature. Couldn't get them to the finish line. Didn't see them out there knocking doors. There's one time when as Minnehaha went, so did the election.
Yeah.
That's not the case anymore from a GOP perspective. And that's
because the Minnehaha County GOP ain't putting up Minnehaha County GOP candidates anymore. They're putting up hand counting election dum-dums and all of this other nonsense. And it's in Pennington and everywhere else now. Sorry, Jake.
Dual County let Justin McNeil, was that his name? McNeil? What's this guy's name? Yeah, McNeil. Speak at their Lincoln dinner and let him table for his independent petitions. That is insane to me.
The Turner County Republicans, I'm hearing, are trying to get people in Turner County to think Gene Hunoff ain't a Republican enough to be a Republican. She broke the goddamn Republican platform of this party. I just like, what?
He is the quintessential fiscal conservative that we have on our appropriations. You know what I mean?
Hey man, this is the beginning.
Give money to your county GOPs, okay? Because right now is the way it goes. I'm sorry to say that, but that's true right now. Do not give money to them. Give money to your candidates. Give the money to your candidates because they are the people that actually are getting things done, and they're using the money for their campaigns. You don't know what's going to for those GOP county parties.
It's like when the police, what's the benevolent people call you and they shake you down for $20. You don't know where the money's going now.
I do have to, one of my favorite recent Pat Powers posts,
dude,
is that brand new Pat Powers. And what is the actual title he gave his scorecard? The Real Conservative Scorecard from South Dakota War College. Love this scorecard. He finally put one out on there that is, has some good ideas behind it, I would say.
If you haven't been to Dakota War College in a couple of years, Pat has decided to tell everybody what he thinks. And it's been a treat, I gotta say.
It's been great for the show. We get all kinds of content thanks to Pat.
What's insane is this. Is like, now all of a sudden, I mean, where are you even calling him the ungovernable Pat Powers? And you know what he's guilty of? Not a damn thing other than pointing out how bananas these people are being. Like, Pat and his negative tactics. That's a negative tactics. Pat is literally just going, whoa, this stuff that's happening isn't normal, isn't Republican, it isn't nice, it isn't beneficial, and now all of a sudden he's a hater.
I keep going back to your county GOPs should not be supporting independent candidates or any one candidate in a primary. Pat's pointing that out and making a point of that.
Hey, man.
I don't know how else to say that.
That's, you know, just where this is. I mean, we've talked about this a little, and Alex, I'll take your take on it. Like, you know where this is going to just get unbelievably hard to figure out is at the precinct committee level, where you don't know who the names are and you just kind of, you know what I mean? You either, like, listen, we've all done it. You didn't do any research. You don't quite know who he is. So you just go, and then all of a sudden all precinct committee people are going to be filled with, and I'm saying at least a third of these people. Now what you going to do? Now you have real and legitimate election issues. The thing that they have been hell-bent for leather on stopping, lo and behold, they'll cause.
And you look at that, you look at what's happened in that precinct committee man and woman deal, and you just go back to Watertown, and this was a couple years ago, right, Jake?
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, that's the epitome of it. Look, Kristi Noem picks Larry Roden to be it. Lieutenant governor, and he has trouble getting out of the precinct committee man and women process.
Well, I'm like, clearly not conservative enough.
He wasn't conservative
enough. Can I make a special announcement?
Please.
I'm excited to say I've officially won my precinct man position, precinct committee man position. In the 0218 precinct. So
see,
I'm
talking about, Alex.
Campaign.
These young, dumb candidates are just taking over the.
Hey, it's me and Catherine Baranko in my precinct. That's a good precinct right there.
That's true. You guys will do a great job. And, you know, that's what, you know, Joe Kipley, he's a county commissioner here in Sioux Falls, Republican. He's really worked hard to get really good Republicans to sign up for this. He asked me like maybe once or twice to do it. I'm like, dude, I think we have TJ Nelson doing it in my in my precinct. So I was like, I think he's going to be doing just a fine job.
He's the one that got me to sign it and do it. I would have thought of it. Honestly, it's not something you think of when you're, especially when you're busy running your own campaign. It's not something.
And it's a good point, right? Like maybe you're listening to this show and you're like, you know, I don't know if I want to run for office and all that sounds gross, but I could help. A precinct committee person in your county establishment is going to become something. We're going to need people here in the next upcoming.
You probably should have mentioned this before the deadline, but you know, next time.
Well, I mean, next, there's always a next time, right? There's just a next. You listen, this ain't, again, I don't mean to be an alarmist. This ain't the beginning. This is the beginning. We're not at the high water mark of ding-a-ling yet. Sorry, guys.
Oh, we sure aren't.
But, you know.
I mean, you could be living in District 17 having all kinds of interesting people trying to represent you.
Okay, so what's going on there? I don't want to pick on somebody with mental health issues.
I don't. That's a really good point. For Robin Shiro, it's clear she's going through sort of a mental health crisis, I would say. And so hopefully she gets the help she needs. But clearly someone you do not want representing you in District 17. That's clear to me.
But, and then the other one. The other one's like purposely telling people he's gonna go offend him. What's this other cat story? Alex, you heard about this?
Yeah, Pat makes a good point about this guy. Basically, posts on Facebook that
what is his name?
Carson Merkwan.
He is a District 17 House candidate. He is ready to. He's done the research. I think is that what we're saying here? And he's not
he
afraid to tell the truth.
To quote him, he's prepared for people to be offended by his stances. That's not how you start a campaign. Like, division is not where base. Pat brings that point up. Division is not what makes campaigns, what makes elections.
Also, I'm not trying to be the woke member of the bunch, but, like, you know what that sounds like to me? Code for you just want to tell racist jokes that you used to be able to tell, and now you can't tell them anymore. That's what it sounds like to me, dummy.
You know, and just think about the mentality that type of a candidate brings. They're a single issue candidate. They think that they have all the answers in their head and they can't listen to the people that are around them. Like, think about me when I was in the legislature, which I served. It's like, I had no idea about water rights, but Lee Schoenbeck did, who was right across the aisle from me. So he talked to me about it and, you know, walked me through that kind of stuff. And your decision might change. But if you just think that you're the only person with the right idea in the room, think about what that, you know, those types of people, and you would never want them around making decisions in your business.
I wouldn't trust them with my McDonald's order.
In your bank. It's like, you don't want these people around. Get these guys out of here.
Hey, man, it's not, listen, this is like, it's not like it doesn't work right now. You know what I mean? That's going to get clear. Here we are. We're talking about it.
That's fair. Got that going.
You know what I mean? He's probably thrilled. All right. Awkward silence. Cool.
No, we'll cut that part.
Nah, leave it in. We're a little loose today.
Yeah, it's towards the end of the show. I think that's probably about all we got in the canon there, huh?
I have one more thing because we're such
Yes, please. Oh, I asked you too, but go ahead.
Okay, you go first.
I was trying to find our district. I'm struggling to find it. We forgot to mention a great candidate out West River, the other Susan Peterson.
District 28.
Yes, 28.
District 28 against Sam Marty.
Had some issues with her petition process, but got in there and is running. So that's great news and will be a great candidate.
She's awesome.
Yes.
I was laughing with her. You know, this is like, it's not funny, but like, you know, you get a little, there's some gallows humor and some a little bit of morbidity that comes in the campaign season a bit at times, right? And so I'm talking to Susan about her race, and I'm like, you know, you just go up north and you be a Christian rancher. And she's like, Murdoch, I am a Christian rancher. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Okay, this isn't an image thing, is it? Okay. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. My bad. Just be yourself. We're a terrible host, Jake.
Are we?
We forgot to ask Amber what her favorite burger is.
Yes, we are. We are a terrible host. That's not something to know.
Oh, well, that's great. Fair enough. I emailed Amber Hulse, our District 30 candidate, because we forgot to ask her what her best her favorite burger is.
Yeah.
And she's going with the Merc at the Mercantile in Hot Springs, which I have had. That's a good burger.
Alex, have we asked you this already?
Yeah, but I changed the mold like a good politician and said that Mama's Lotta's enchilada was the best.
Yeah,
running for anything this time. You want to give us an honest answer?
So here's one really, really good burger from my perspective. And I think I actually said this the first time. JL Beers, if you're on Western Avenue in Sioux Falls, they have the Western Avenue burger. It's got barbecue sauce, bacon, cheese. It's just dialed in. They know what's going on. If you're on Phillips, it's the Phillips Avenue burger. Kind of where they're at. I think it's their deal.
Is that on the Max Muscle program? The barbecue sauce burger?
Yeah, I'm glad that your viewers can't see me right now. I'm very fit, and people really know me as a bodybuilder. So,
yeah, if you haven't seen Alex Jensen lately, if you're not watching the every Tuesday the Council Cast, whatever it's called,
that's not
he's gotten
AI.
Big.
That's not AI.
He's gotten
folks.
Big. Yeah, he's gotten big and strong. Drinking his milk. His muscle milk.
He is, what did you call him? It was a little snippy. Outgoing Sioux Falls.
He's outgoing. Well, that's not snippy. Oh, guys, leaving.
I thought this guy ain't going to matter in 6 months.
He's not. He's packed his bags. He's going to go sell some pre-workout and creatine.
Yeah, you want to announce a race while you're on with us? What's next?
Yeah, I had to go announce. Alex Jensen running for governor in 2026.
U.S. House.
Yeah, I'm not. I can't beat I can't beat that guy. So I'm not running for governor.
Future Mayor okay. Alex Jensen so joining us on.
He's
the
not running for governor, but everything else is on the table still.
All right, man. Well, that's a show. I want to thank our guests, Amber Hulse, District 30 candidate in Senate, going against Julie Fry Mueller. And Mr. Alex Jensen, you're always a treat to have on, sir.
Thanks, sir. Have a great week.
From Jake in the East, I am Murdoch in the West, and you have been listening to South Dakota's most listened to political podcast. It is Dakota Town Hall.
See you next week.
Dakota Town Hall, South Dakota's weekly podcast. Episodes are available every Friday. For more information or to request availability, please go to dakotatownhall.com. Dakota Town Hall is presented in partnership with Home Slice Audio, produced by Leslie Klein. Music and audio production by Oakley Ty. Research by Home Slice Audio and Dakota Town Hall. Graphics by Timmy Grablander. Social media content by Scout Wheeler and website design by Trey Wynn. Editorial advisor and executive producer, Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Special thanks to all of our weekly guests. While we try to be accurate with all of our information, this show is recorded live and errors do occur. For corrections, please visit dakotatownhall.com. Hosted by Jake Schoenbeck and Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen. Dakota Town Hall, another Home Slice audio production.